Okay, we're going to reconvene the meeting, and before I turn it over to Frank and Jamie, Sue Murphy, would you please come forward? Wherever you're comfortable, but not everybody knows Sue's going to retire in about a month and a half, so we weren't going to let you go without a thank you in the usual council tradition. We've written a letter, and I'm going to read it into the record. Dear Sue, after learning of your pending retirement, we could not let you leave without saying a huge thank you for all of us at the New England Council for a job well done. In researching your background, as we prepared to say farewell, we found out, unsurprisingly, that you had been involved in fisheries in one way or another for years. You began your fishery career as a part-time port agent in 1976. We understand your part-time status was related to the fact that you were still a co-op student getting to know all the things that were to know in Point Judith. Apparently, you were hooked. Two years later, you were employed full-time by NOAA Fisheries, although your arrival at Garfo, now happily known as Nero, did not begin until 1994. More than 20 years later, we find you as the RO in the groundfish team, as the groundfish team supervisor, having served the agency and the council in other valuable positions along the way. Please forgive us for thinking you had no life before groundfish. in particular, you've helped our staff work in their way through some of the most complicated and aggravating yet important questions and processes in order to address equally important and complicated fishery management issues. We thank you for your patience and assistance in both ways, both great and small. You've been respectful in trying times that have affected us all, yet have remained completely yourself, dedicated to getting the job done while still fulfilling your own responsibilities. We're not sure, but we hope you will remember us similarly. We wish you peace, happiness, and great adventures in the future, and truly hope that you find yourself at the Grog on some late afternoon, and you'll give us a call so we can come join you. Thank you, Sue. I'll turn the meeting over to Frank and Jamie while we take care of the rest of the festivities here.
Okay. Congratulations, Sue. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because of the recent events, snowstorm, neither the chair or the vice chair from the RAP were able to make it here today. There are some members of the RAP that are in the audience, though, so they have asked me to give their report and their concerns. This report is coming straight to the council as opposed to going through the committee because there wasn't enough time to schedule a groundfish committee meeting between then and now. The meeting last week had 100% of the RAP members in attendance. They did not spend a lot of time at this meeting complaining about the data, which is unusual, but they used the time to come up with real solutions for fishing year 2015. The RAP did have major concerns with the results of the model as to the reduction in the number of trips it's predicting for the year 2015. The RAP is also concerned about the viability of the Gulf of Maine for a higher sector in light of the current and proposed restrictions. The RAP worked very hard to come up with some suggestions to reduce the bycatch on cod in order to gain another haddock or two, but that even if they do get another haddock, This in no way will mitigate the overall situation for the for-hire fleet. However, 4 or 5 is better than 0, which represents the RAP's beliefs would pretty much end the recreational ground fishing in the Gulf of Maine. And that was a statement from the RAP members. I have a few motions, a couple of consensus statements that I don't think are very controversial. We should have a couple of questions, and I hope the council looks favorable on these and passes them along to Garfo. Jamie has a brief presentation. We'll go through that, and then we'll get into a couple of motions.
Thank you. For the purposes of today's discussion, there'll be a couple documents that you'll find critical. Number one being a copy of the presentation, which I'll walk through now. Number two, some summary tables of recent recreational catch and effort data. Document number three and four are background information that was provided directly to the RAP at the meeting, and some of you have already been looking through that. So just to take a brief step back, Framework Adjustment 48 revised the proactive recreational accountability measures. In Framework 48, this revision led to the regional administrator being able to adjust measures to ensure the recreational fishery will achieve but not exceed its sub-ACL. To the extent possible, these changes would be made prior to the fishing year beginning. And the regional administrator would consult with the council or the council's designee to tell what measures were under consideration. At the time, the council provided guidance on its preference of measures that NIMS should consider and if additional recreational effort controls are necessary to reduce Gulf of Maine cod or Gulf of Maine haddock catches. And so for cod, the order was increases to minimum fish sizes, then adjustments to seasons, followed by changes in bag limits. For haddock, it was increases to minimum fish sizes, then changes to bag limits and adjustments to seasons last. The Council's guidance does not restrict NIMS discretion in selecting management measures that would best achieve but not exceed the recreational sub-ACL. The Council would provide its recreational advisory panel an opportunity to meet and discuss the proposed measures if time allows, and these AMs would require development and consultation with the Council because the appropriate suite of measures is really dependent on what the ACL is. So just a brief process overview of where we've been. You took final action at the November Council meeting on Framework Adjustment 53. And you included in your preferred alternatives ACLs for Gulf of Maine cod and haddock, and also, in particular for the recreational fishery and the Gulf of Maine cod protection measures, no possession of Gulf of Maine cod. The RAP did meet last week, and they reviewed the possible proactive accountability measures for fishing year 2015 and made recommendations, as Frank just pointed out. And a summary of these recommendations is going to be provided. Today, the purpose is really to review those RAP recommendations and develop your recommendations to NIMS for proactive AMs for the next fishing year for both Gulf of Maine cod and Gulf of Maine haddock. So just as a reminder, under proposed in Framework Adjustment 53, if implemented for the recreational fishery, the sub-ACLs for cod for fishing year 2015 would be 121 metric tons for Gulf of Maine cod and 372 metric tons for Gulf of Maine haddock. And so it's important to have this information in hand before the potential proactive AMs could be discussed for the next fishing year. At the Recreational Advisory Panel meeting, we received a summary of the bioeconomic model that the Social Science Branch has been providing this information to the Council for several years now. And in this model, you can simulate angler behavior in response to various changes in regulations. And it uses both the stock assessment information as well as fishery-dependent information. There were a number of options that were examined. In fact, there were more than 50 in total that were examined, different types of combinations. Ultimately, these four were presented at the meeting, and in particular, all the options you will see here have a no possession limit for a zero possession for cod. And adjustments were made to haddock bags, bag size, haddock minimum fish size, and the open seasons to try and achieve that sub-ACL. Achieve but not exceed. That's the important piece. In all instances, for both stocks, there wasn't a scenario presented that would combine these measures that would achieve but not exceed the sub-ACLs for Gulf of Maine cod and haddock. This led to a discussion about, what if discard mortality is actually reduced for both stocks and compliance increases, and there was quite a bit of discussion on both of these issues. And there was a proposal on the table to have for Gulf of Maine cod no possession, and then perhaps for Gulf of Maine haddock a bag limit of 3 to 4 fish. In closed seasons, from March 1st to April 31st, that's wave 2, and wave 5 from September 1st to October 31st, and a minimum fish size of 17 inches. This led to several motions and consensus statements at the meeting. The first was a motion about outreach. The RAP recommends that the outreach component to recreational anglers regarding changes to Gulf of Maine cod and haddock management measures currently underway by GARFO continue and its impact on reducing noncompliance be considered when predicting recreational catches. This was something that was pointed out at the meeting, that noncompliance was something in the model that was projecting catches to be higher or fish to be kept in situations where you would actually have no possession for cod. And so what kinds of efforts are underway and what could be done to ensure that adequate outreach was provided to the recreational fishing community to ensure compliance was at a higher rate for both cod and haddock. And this motion passed by consensus without an objection. There was then quite a lengthy discussion on the data, the model, the information provided in the tables that you have in your documents, and the past experiences of recreational advisors about what happens with discard mortality of cod and haddock. And it was suggested at the meeting that if there was any way to reduce that actual discard mortality, that the service was interested in getting that feedback from the experts in the room. And so this led to this this motion about how potential discard mortality could be reduced for Gulf of Maine cod and haddock. There was also information provided by the regional office on recent studies in other fisheries about types of hooks and types of approaches that could be used, including best handling practices. And based on that, the RAP recommends prohibiting the use of more than 2 hooks per line while fishing for groundfish in the Gulf of Maine. And only inline circle hooks may be baited, and when using a jig or artificial lure, only single point J hooks may be used. And as an example, no treble hooks would be used. Teasers, feathers, and flies may be used, but count toward the use of no more than 2 hooks per line. And this motion passed passed by a show of hands, 12-0. There was also a lengthy discussion about the effort data that was being provided. And in particular, this references a document. The document you have is actually document number 2. And I believe it's on page 6 of document number 2, table 12, was a table that the advisors spent some time discussing. And the RAP feels that directed Gulf of Maine angler trips will decline substantially in 2015 under no possession for Gulf of Maine cod and the anticipated low bag limit for Gulf of Maine haddock for the recreational fishery. The RAP feels that the change in effort between fishing year 13 and 14 would be at least 50%, between 14 and 15 would be at least 50% decline. The data provided in the table that I pointed out supports this concern, as declines in effort between the past 2 fishing years from Gulf of Maine cod and Gulf of Maine haddock wave 5 closures, that's September through October 31st, the overall decline in effort was about 85% fishery-wide. So there was a lot of discussion as to whether the model was adequately predicting what the decline in effort would be. I think when we had the information presented to us, it was roughly 10% decline that was being predicted. And so there was concerns that that was too low, that the recreational advisors actually felt that declines would be greater in effort with these potential changes coming. Related to that, the RAP also provided another consensus statement stating that the RAP feels that under no possession of Gulf of Maine cod, that party, charter, and private vessels would be much less likely to fish in areas known to have aggregations of cod and less likely to use equipment to target cod. The ability of anglers to avoid cod is not taken into account in the fishing year 2015 recreational catch projections, and therefore the RAP feels that cod bycatch should be greatly reduced from what is projected for the upcoming fishing year. And lastly, there was another consensus statement drawing some attention to how information is being used. And in particular, recreational discards were not considered in the allocation of Gulf of Maine cod and haddock. Discard mortality estimates are being used in recreational catch projections to determine potential accountability measures. And the RAP recommends that this concern be considered when implementing AMs. So in using, hinging on those that last two motions and the three consensus statement, the RAP then had another motion. And in light of no possession of cod and expected declines in effort, the RAP recommends that proactive AMs for Gulf of Maine haddock in fishing year 2015 be a bag limit of at least four fish, a 17-inch minimum fish size, and closed seasons during wave two and wave five. And this passed 11-1-0. The RAP also had two additional motions. There was quite a discussion about the ability for the party charter segments of the fleet to continue operating under a low haddock bag limit, and the RAP made a motion to recommend exploration of conservation equivalent proactive AMs to separate party charter from the private modes in fishing year 2015. And an example that was given was that perhaps a letter of authorization for charter boats to have a reduced season in exchange for an increased bag limit. I think an example at the time was perhaps 9 or 10 fish, but then fishing for a shorter season than what the AMs would be. And this passed on a show of hands 6-5-1. Last motion, the RAP requests that limited access in the party charter fleet be addressed in the next available groundfish action. That passed 9-3-0. The RAP was aware that this was an item that was discussed under priorities back in November, still thinks it is important, and I think this is a motion that we'll have to discuss at the committee level, but I'm just presenting it for the purposes of being complete in the RAP's discussion. So for your discussion today, really two questions. One, do you wish to forward the RAP recommendations to the service? And second, do you suggest that NIMS look at different approaches, and if so, what might those be? Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Jamie? Seeing none, Frank.
Okay, I'll start with motion number one. Well, I can read it. The RAP recommends that the outreach component to the recreational anglers regarding changes to the Gulf of Maine cod and haddock management measures currently underway by the Greater Atlantic Region Regional Fisheries Office continue, and its impact on reducing noncompliance be considered when predicting the recreational catches for fishing year 2015. And I do need seconds on these motions.
Seconded by Matt.
Okay.
I'm going to go out to the audience. Any comments from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Doug.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this motion, and I would like to make a comment to GARFO and their outreach efforts that they make it very clear to the recreational fishermen, not just the party charters, that discards, 30% of the discards on cod is going to be counted towards the sub-ACL that they have. And my advice to recreational fishermen when I've been talking to them individually and party charters, if you catch a cod while you're fishing, move your boat. Move to a different location. And I think that's also a wise suggestion for commercial vessels, but I think that would be a good outreach item to put into a good message to put into your outreach items.
Further discussion from the council. John.
two things. One, these are all motions essentially to send us recommendations, so I'm going to abstain on them because I'm not going to support sending messages to me. It's not because I disagree with them. Secondly, I think by and large these are good ideas. I think they do depend on ability for these ideas to achieve reductions in discard mortality. And I think it's important that the PDT look at the recent discard mortality study and send that to the SSC for peer review. And that's what it hinges on. So, but other than that, I think this is on the right track. So we're supportive, but I'm going to abstain on this and the subsequent ones.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. The motion carries 15-01. Frank.
Thank you. For the purpose of reducing discard mortality on Gulf of Maine cod and haddock, the RAP recommends prohibiting the use of more than two hooks per line while fishing for ground fish in the Gulf of Maine. Only inline circle hooks may be baited. When using a jig or artificial lure, only single point J hooks may be used. Example, no treble hooks. Teasers, feathers, flies may be used, but count towards the use of no more than two hooks per line. And if I get a second, I'd like to make a comment on this one.
Seconded by Matt.
Yeah, the RAP had a lot of discussion on this, and it's definitely the right way to go, but there is concerns that I have, and I've talked to several other people about, especially on the circle hook part. It makes a lot of sense probably for cod and haddock, but one thing that was pointed out, that flounder have a very small mouth, and circle hooks probably don't work there. So how this gets teased out, the RAP didn't have a lot of time. They spent a lot of time on this, but I don't think all the other species were considered. So while it may be very good for cod and haddock, when this gets forward to NIMS, I hope they take that into consideration and, or maybe have a little more outreach on that or some type of input. Thank you.
Are any comments from the audience? Seeing none, back to PK.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frank, from the RAP, was there any talk about enforcement or compliance with this, what they would see the industry doing?
Not that I recall on this particular motion. Jamie?
There was discussion about perhaps having a phased-in approach. There wasn't a motion on it or any consensus about it, just concerned that tackle shops may have inventory, and what if there was a sudden and abrupt change, what would that do? Would they be able to find the things that they needed? There was. It seemed that most of the rep was supportive of, I think there was, this one might have been unanimous, that this would be an easy fix for them.
Further discussion? Doug?
Now, one of the, we've been, over the years, there's been a request to require circle hooks and striped bass. And certainly has a benefit to discard mortality. I agree with it. I support it. We had a big outreach effort in when we worked with CCA New Hampshire to get the word out about it and actually provided circle hooks to people. I think the difficulty here is requiring them at this particular point in time. I'd love to be able to require it. I just think we're going to run into, at least in the first year or two, some big compliance issues with people. My suggestion here might be to suggest or recommend that circle hooks be used when fishing for ground fish, at least during the first year here, and possibly have a big outreach effort to try and, with the intent that maybe in the future there might be some requirement. but I think this is going to be problematic if it's being put into the Federal Register and required as a gear type restriction.
For Jamie.
So to that point, the RAP did have some discussion about this and proposed that at least that if something was reducing discard mortality, whether it be actual, that was a good thing for. But certainly there was a need to have this be information driven, and so there was some hesitation there as well. But I think that there was definitely some discussion about the timing. And initially, I think they tossed around the idea of saying just for the fishing year, but they made it more open-ended. And so I just wanted to point that out, that there was some RAP discussion about that issue.
Frank.
Yeah, I think Jamie captured that very well. But what else is also in here, I think it was unanimous on the treble hook part, that they felt that that should be the ban.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. Those opposed? And those abstaining? Motion carries 14-02. Frank.
Okay, next is the consensus statements. There's three parts to it. Jamie already read it. I'll read it again into the record. But the RAP feels that directed Gulf of Maine cod angler trips will decline substantially in fishing year 2015. Under no possession for Gulf of Maine cod and the anticipated low bag limit for Gulf of Maine haddock for the recreational fishery, the RAP feels that the change in effort between 2014 and 2015 would be at least 15% decline. Data provided for the RAP meeting was in Table 12. And Jamie, I think, gave the table 2 now?
Document number 2, page 6.
Okay. Supports this concern as a decline in effort between 2013 and 2014 from the Gulf of Maine cod and haddock waves 5, September 1 to October 31st. Closures were estimated in those 2 years to be 85% decline overall. And I think I'll stop there for questions before I go to the second part of that, if there are any. One thing I will say, when you look at those tables, Jamie's correct, it shows about an 85% reduction in those waves when there was zero possession of cod and haddock. So the RAP felt that, I think we were told between 10 and 13% is what the model showed, and the RAP thought that it would be, you know, much more in the 50% range of what they thought for directed trips.
So my question, Frank, was it the RAP's intention that these consensus statements be forwarded along with the motions?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So if there's no questions there, I'll go to the next one. The RAP feels that under the no possession of Gulf of Maine cod that the party and charter and private vessels will be much less likely to fish in areas known to have aggregations of cod and less likely to use equipment to target cod. The ability of anglers to avoid cod is not taken into account in the 2015 recreational catch projections. Therefore, the RAP feels that the cod bycatch would be greatly reduced from what is projected in fishing year 2015. And I think that goes with what number one says. Okay. Number three. Recreational discards were not considered in the allocation of Gulf of Maine cod and haddock. Discard mortality estimates are being used in the recreational catch projections to determine potential accountability measures. The RAP recommends that this concern be considered when implementing AMs. The RAP spent a lot of time on this one when the allocations were made, and I hope I'm right, Amendment 16. That it was based on recreational landings and not on discards. So now that the discards are being added in, they thought that, you know, that should have some consideration when implementing the AMs.
Is there an objection to forwarding these three consensus statements to the agency? Seeing none,
okay.
Frank?
Motion number three. In light of no possession of card and the expected declines in effort, including consideration of motions 1 and 2 and the consensus statements 1, 2, and 3, the RAP recommends that proactive AMs for Gulf of Maine haddock in fishing year 2015 be a bag limit of at least 4 fish and 17-inch minimum fish size, and a closed season during Wave 2, March to April, and Wave 5, September 1st to October 31st. This motion passed 11-1-0.
Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Doug. Any comments from the audience? Don?
Don Swanson, recreational fisherman. I go along with the no possession limit on the codfish. I know the desire spray to them and stuff. I still don't have a problem with this four fish, especially when I hear that the possibility that the quota per haddock is gonna at least double, triple, or maybe even quadruple. And if that's the case, we're only going to get one more fish from three fish, maybe up to four fish, if you agree to four fish. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, as recreational fisherman, this is a moratorium. I'm not going to be going ground fishing out on Stellwagen Bank to catch four fish, which I know I'm not going to be able to catch. In the months that I can be able to fish in, without the card limit, all that's going to be out there is basically sand sharks. So no matter what happens here today, this is a moratorium. I won't be fishing up. My fishing effort may be going on other species. Thank you.
Yeah, come on up, and then the gentleman. Yep.
Hi, my name is Carrie Thurman. I'm a representative for U.S. Senator Jean Shaheen. I just wanted to read a statement from her. Commercial and recreational fishing industries are essential to New Hampshire's seacoast economy and community. New Hampshire's fishermen need certainty to ensure the livelihood of their businesses. We remain concerned with NOAA's updated assessment of Gulf of Maine cod, specifically regarding the lack of transparency and analysis used in review. Again, we urge NOAA to use the remainder of the 2014 fishing year to convene a thorough and transparent benchmark assessment for all cod stocks. This is critical. It is critical that NOAA work in concert with local fishermen and stakeholders to enact federal management policies that New Hampshire fishermen can support. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Thomas Arl from the Yankee Fishing Fleet out of Gloucester, Massachusetts. I agree with this motion number three, particularly in the event that we can certainly decrease the codfish mortality. If the recreation or charter party boat are able to fish as present in the closed areas, it certainly gives us a better opportunity to fish for other fisheries, such as mackerel, redfish, and whiting or hake. So I support motion three, and I concur with the fact that the fishing effort would be greatly decreased. From my own experience and my own business, in September, our fishery decreased 85% and decreased 20 and 30% in the following months for probably a total of what they estimate about 50% effort through the course of 2014. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Doug.
Now, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this motion, and the reason I can support this is because I think there's some fairly strong evidence that there will be a very strong reduction in the number of passengers going on boats directing at groundfish and the number of trips directing at groundfish with a zero possession of cod and such a low bag limit of haddock. In addition to the data that was demonstrated in document two, showing an 85% reduction, prior to that, had my staff look at logbooks from comparing wave five between 2013 and 2014, and it showed a 65% reduction just in the party and charter industry in Little Old New Hampshire. So I think this measure would keep the recreational fish within their fishermen within their sub-ACL.
Is there any other further discussion? Seeing none, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those who are abstaining. Motion carries 14-01. Frank?
The RAP recommends exploration of conservation equivalent proactive AMs to separate party and charter from the private mode in 2015. Example, a letter of authorization for the charter boats to have a reduced season in exchange for the increased bag limit. If I get a second, I'd like to make a comment on this as well.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble.
Okay, this one was a little more controversial. You can see by the vote it was 6-5-1. I'm not sure, but the chairman may have voted to break the tie. No? He didn't. Okay. As Jamie said, there wasn't a lot of time. This is the end of the day, but there were some examples given. I think the state of Massachusetts, if I'm correct, does something similar in the sea bass fishery. Maybe, and there are some examples out there. Several other states do it as well. It was just something Jamie gave one example of how it could be done, but they also realize that, you know, this is, you know, January and fishing year is in May. There's not a lot of time to do it, but we're hoping that Garfo could look at this and maybe come up with something.
Any comments from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Ellen.
So, Frank, I have a question. Would this mean that every party charter would need to participate in this, or would it be, do you envision it being a choice that they either?
They perceived it as a choice. From my recollection, Jamie can correct me, or the RAP members here, they wanted it to be a choice. It was felt that charter boats would probably take more advantage of it than the party boats, but it wouldn't be limited to either one, but it would be a voluntary system.
Dave?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The operative concept here is that the party charter industry is strictly commercial, although they operate under the recreational regulations, and it's perfectly legitimate for them to have two variations within a particular rule. We have used this in Rhode Island. It was controversial at first, but now it's a regular part of our way of managing the charter and party fisheries in Rhode Island. They fish, for instance, blackback flounder. Frank can correct me if I'm wrong here, but a blackback flounder, I believe, is a black sea bass. There's a difference in the regulation among those two groups, between the two groups. And also in Totagus, if I recall correctly, there's a difference in the management of the two groups. They have the same overall take, but they're allowed to split it in ways that benefit them as a business that you would never consider in terms of something that's strictly speaking recreational. I've long thought that the charter industry should be just subsumed into a consumer, like a commercial group anyway, but at least this gives them the kind of flexibility that they need in operating their businesses.
PK.
Yeah, the question I think is to the agency is, can they do this on such an early notice? I mean, maybe that was already discussed. That would be one question. And then the other question, if it's only voluntary and only so many boats participate in it, I mean, how much, I'm sure there was talk about this. I mean, how much are you going to get out of that with the data that you're going to get out of that?
Frank, I know they're in the sidebar right now. That did come up at the meeting, and I think they felt that it would be difficult in advance trying to figure out who would partake in it and who wouldn't. And Mark might be able to help me out there, but it was to explore, recommend the exploration of it. If it could be done for this year, fine, but if not, just put something in place, or maybe it could be done for subsequent years, but to start the process.
Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This concept is something that I think that the council needs to address in a formal action. I don't think this is appropriate for AM measures that we're making recommendations to the regional administrator for 2015. I think that the council needs to develop, or at least in some future priorities, develop an action to at least explore the possibility of separating the party charter from the recreational fishermen. I don't think you can do it on sort of a voluntary basis. I think enforcement would be an absolute nightmare as to which boats are going to have a higher bag limit in a shorter season. So I don't think this is an appropriate motion to bring forward to the regional administrator as a accountability measure for the recreational fishery.
Frank.
Yeah, I understand Doug's concerns, but I believe it might go back as far as Amendment 7, where we did do separate regulations for party and charter. I know they weren't AMs, but we had different restrictions in the Gulf of Maine for party and charter as they were for private recreational, and I think they were carried through probably in, who knows, we had 15 frameworks in there, but I think it's come up a couple of times. So, I mean, I understand your concerns. I don't know if it has to go through, amendment or a framework, but if you think it needs more discussion, I can understand that as well. So it's good.
Vincent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question first. Frank, are you kind of talking about splitting up the sub-ACL for the recreational sector?
Tough because I'm not a member of the RAP. I don't think they looked at it as splitting up the ACL. They looked at it as just conservation equivalent. And I'll leave it at that.
BK, and then we're. You got to follow up?
Yeah. When I look at this, that's what I assume it to be. And I do think it's the proper direction to go in. I just don't think that you can do it with an LOA in 3 months before a fishing year. And I noticed that it barely passed the RAP in the voting. So there's obviously some hesitation about this, but... I think I'll just kind of leave it at that. I have concerns about it because I think you're looking at splitting up a sub-ACL.
Jamie?
Just to Vincent's point, the hesitation, I think, was definitely from the private anglers that are on the RAP and their concerns about equal treatment. And so they kept bringing that up that, the measures that apply to the private angler should apply to the private angler on board a for-hire vessel as well. And so there was concerns about equity even within the RAP in this discussion.
PK.
I'll just be brief, but I think what Vincent said is a sub-ACL. I have a feeling that's where they might want to go in the future. I think it's too early to do it now, but I think I've heard from both sides, actually, that that's the way they might want to go in the future. So I agree this is... this is too quick to do it in and not the right forum to do it in, but I think it might be coming anyways.
Anybody else have a burning desire? Seeing not, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those opposed? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, And those abstaining. The motion fails 6-8-1. Frank?
Okay, the last motion.
6-8-2.
We do not have to take action on because it should be to the Ground Fish Committee. But the RAP requests that the limited access and the party and charter fleet be addressed in the next available ground fish action. That was 930. The discussion was about how it wasn't in priorities this year, and they just don't want it to go away. So we'll bring it up to the Ground Fish Committee, and it'll be back at the council at some future date.
Is there any objections to that game plan? Seeing none, you have... John?
I have something before we end on this.
Okay. Is there any further business from the rep, Frank or Jamie?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, thank you, John.
So I mentioned in my remarks we're supportive of this, but it depends on some assumptions on discount mortality, and that we're going to have to base the ruling on some science on this. And so rather than have some surprises down the road, I want to ask a question that I don't have the answer to, which you're not supposed to do, right, Dr. Quinn? But I want to ask it of Mark and Jamie, which is how are we going to get the science on discard mortality? What's the strategy on doing that? I mentioned that there was some science on this and that it should be reviewed by the PDT, but I'm not sure that it exists, and so that's why I don't know the answer to my question. Dangerous territory. But we will need some science on the discard mortality. So what are you guys thinking on the fly think is the strategy for providing that?
Nothing like putting them on the spot.
Yeah. But I'd rather do it now, you know, while the council's in session here than later.
So your light's on, Mark.
So currently when we do accounting, we use the same discard mortality assumptions that are in the stock assessment, which for the recreational fishery is 30% for cod and 50% for haddock. What we're doing here in the motions that have come forward, the recommendations from the council and the RAP, is to prohibit certain gears and require other gears, which would then be different than the current assumption in the stock assessment, which is that all gears, all hand gears can be used by recreational fisheries. So in this instance, there's a request that we, you know, require certain gears or prohibit other gears specifically to reduce discard mortality. But in order to actually use that in accounting, we would have to agree that there is science demonstrating that and what numbers to use. So an option would be for the PDT to review information, both a current or recent study by folks at UNE and the aquarium that is yet to be peer-reviewed or published, and additional literature in general on circle hooks, and if they felt that it was appropriate to forward that to the SSC to review to consider whether or not it was the best available science to use for this.
Tom.
So all kinds of alarm bells are going off in my head here. And I'm kind of in a difficult spot because I don't want to argue that adopting gears that reduce or discards is a bad idea, right? But there's a couple bad ideas here embedded in this, this suggestion from the agency. The first is that the responsibility for proactive AM's implementation is on the agency. It's not on us. And so I'm a little concerned about the idea that we're now going to task the PDT to do the agency's work to adopt measures that we may want, but that we don't have any guarantee the agency is actually going to adopt them because the agency makes the decisions on the proactive AMs, not us. The second problem we have here is a technical one, and that is that no matter what we do, the assessment assumes something on discard mortality, and we can't change that now. That gets changed at the next benchmark assessment. And so, you know, even if we come in and argue that, oh, well, we think discard mortality is something different, until the assessment reaches the same conclusion, they're going to use a different discard mortality rate. Now, people like to point to the example of the SCADE FMP, where discard mortality rates are changed, but I think that's a false analogy, because when the discard mortality rates were changed on the SCADE FMP, they essentially redid the entire assessment time series, including the, I think they recalculated the reference points, and they recalculated ACLs, so everything still hung together. We had the same discard mortality rate used to monitor the fishery that generated the ACLs. So what we're talking about here is making some changes to that, and presumably we're trying to get that all done by in time for the agency to implement these proactive AMs before the 1st of May. So, I mean, with data that has not been reviewed, we have a research steering policy that talks about reviewing research reports, which we haven't even received yet. So we haven't scheduled a meeting to do this. And I look at this and I go, okay, you know, are we just getting hung up about process? And the answer kind of is yes, because we've adopted some of these process steps to prevent us to make sure we do things in a careful, thoughtful way when we implement them. You know, we've got a research project on the street, a research proposal on the street. Some of the applicants that applied suggested studies to do discard mortality on haddock. I don't know if those are going to get approved or not, but there's a possibility that there will be more data coming in on that. So, you know, I struggle a little bit with the idea that we can somehow do this in the next month and a half and make it consistent with the ACLs that were calculated, be guaranteed that a follow-on assessment is actually going to use this, and, oh, by the way, we're going to have the PDT do this, even though this was not planned and the SSC was not planned, going to review this. So I struggle with this suggestion quite a bit, as you can tell. Doug.
So the other two factors that could be potentially be reducing the mortality on cod and haddock compared to what was projected in the models is, one, compliance. And the GARFO is making a good faith effort to get the word out and try and get compliance. So the better job that's done, the better, the more compliance with this will be, which will decrease the mortality. And the other part, which has been brought up by the RAP, which could be very significant, is the reduction in effort. We have a fishery that's been based on a 9-fish cod limit and an unlimited, up until last year, haddock limit. Now we're going down to 4 fish with haddock and 0 for cod. And this fishery is not like striped bass, where people are out just to catch and release and occasionally take in a keeper. People go out to catch and keep and eat these fish. They don't release them unless it's a regulatory discard. So I think there's good data that's going to show, that has already shown, that we are going to be reducing the effort on cod and haddock substantially, not just a little bit, not 10%, but 50 and maybe even 60, 70 and percent or more. So that's where I think you're going to get a lot of your, most of your mortality savings. I agree with Tom on the issue of it's good to try and encourage people to use gear types that are going to reduce the mortality. But that doesn't get factored into the assessment unless you have new data showing that that actually occurred. And it certainly is going to be difficult to factor in on a scientific basis into the accountability measures. But it's good to try and encourage people to do things that are going to reduce mortality, because the bottom line is you are reducing it even if it's not accounted for.
Is there further discussion? Okay, thank you, Frank and Jamie. We are going to move right into the briefing on the draft climate science strategy. Jason?